Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the All In Podcast. The League of Legends podcast that discusses the most popular fan opinions around the LCS. We don't just want you to listen to the show, we want you to be a part of the show. So join our Discord and join the conversation. Now, here's your hosts, the League Dad, Kevin, Mitchell, and Alistair.
Hello and welcome to the All In Podcast. We're here with another episode. MSI is on the horizon starting in about a week or two. We're here to catch you up on all the news that's happening since the end of LCS and on some of the teams that we'll be playing at MSI. First things first, though, how you doing, Kevin? How's life?
I'm doing all right. Life has been pretty okay otherwise. Just looking forward to MSI. I'm going to Hawaii next month. And then we were talking about this before the podcast, but I can't say more because I literally work there. But TikTok got banned, or not banned, forced to sell due to a Senate bill passing. And I literally can't comment more publicly.
Yeah, that's crazy. My thoughts on it. Yeah. We're just going to leave it at that. That's crazy. So how have I been doing? Much less exciting, much less interesting. I've just been kind of hanging out, honestly, playing League. I've started climbing in League again. I played a little bit of ranked today, actually. Been playing Garen jungle. Yep, very off meta. I've found that I can't play League unless I do something weird. If I play normal champs, I just get bored. I can't do it anymore. I can only play so much like Vi and like Lee Sin and Wukong and shit. I just fall asleep. So yeah, Garen jungle has been very unique. He's so fun. He just zooms around and clears up, eats up minion waves. Like, I always have the lowest damage in all the games because I'm just power farming 24/7. Yep, pretty toxic. Anyways, let's talk about some news in the League of Legends sphere. Most exciting news for me, anyways, is that there's a rumor that there will be 3 international tournaments for 2025. And that is basically was kind of precursored or like spoiled by the fact that EU was doing 3 splits. A lot of people theorized, including us, that the introduction of 3 splits in LEC would lead to 3 international tournaments and would lead to all the regions doing 3 splits. Yeah, there's going to be a ton of format changes. I mean, LCS is no stranger to format changes either. So we'll see what the future holds of this. But what are some of your first impressions? What are your takes on this new news?
I think that this is, I mean, we've speculated before, but my immediate reaction is this is good news. It means that we're doing more esports, we're doing more tournaments. I wonder if this is one of the international tournaments is the one that's hosted in the Middle East, but I don't think so because this is Riot hosted. So I think this actually means just like another tournament. I'm hoping that they raise the hype value of it. And also raise the hype value of MSI. Because MSI last year was actually, honestly, such a crazy good format. But, you know, it's all about the prestige. And it's all about how big you make it. If you make 2, like, almost worlds and then 1 worlds, I'm fine with that. But I just, you need a little bit more.
Yeah, I hope that they're all worth something. Because I think LEC is currently struggling with, it feels like they have 3 splits, but 4 titles or trophies you can get. And it makes them all not seem very worth getting, right? Like, I think it's also muddled by the fact that G2 keeps winning, so it's like you kind of forget. It's like there's spring, winter, summer. Okay, G2 won like all of them. Like, I don't even know at what point in the year are LEC in, right? So I think LEC and other regions will need to figure out how to make every split meaningful, and then Riot will additionally need to make sure that all of their international tournaments feel meaningful and important and hype. So yeah, that's also my big concern, but I am also down with this. I think that this can only be good for the LCS. It can only be good for Western audiences. More time playing, better teams, more chances to get a title or go far in an international tournament, because every international tournament, right, as soon as you get to the bracket stage, it's just all Asian teams, right? Occasionally you have one NA team like us last year, or one European team like the year before with like Rogue or something, but like it's almost always just 8 Asian teams, 7 Asian teams in the bracket stage. So the more chances we get, the higher likeliness that we can slip in there and actually, you know, get closer and closer to actually getting a title one of these days, right? So yeah, that's pretty exciting. Some other news. I just want to talk about something that's probably not worth mentioning, but I'm going to mention it anyways. And this is a little bit of Double Lift drama. We shouldn't even talk about it, but we're going to, I guess, because he's LCS. But Double Lift, basically, he made an MSI tier list. It was terrible. And then he went and reviewed Cadril's tier list, which was like the most normal tier list ever, and said it was dog shit and was like making fun of Cadril's, saying he was on drugs and was being paid off by the Chinese government. It's all jokes. It's all classic Double Lift is just talking out of his ass. But it got really a little bit out of hand. Dom came to Cadril's defense. Dom flamed his tier list, you know, and how Double Lift basically only watched like one series from each region and then made a tier list and then started flaming other people's tier list. So yeah, any comments on it? And it's kind of stupid, but
it's kind of stupid, but it's also just like this is literally what formed the basis of League of Legends. Like, this is the kind of buy-in you need. I don't want to get too analytical about literally 10 IQ drama, but it was pretty dumb. If you haven't seen Double's tier list, very quickly we can run through it. Top tier, Gen.G T1. The tier after that, S tier, BLG. Under that, G2, Fnatic, and top esports on the same tier. Then FlyQuest, then Team Liquid, then PSG. And it doesn't matter after that. Those are all different tiers. So that's what Double Lift put. Meanwhile, I'm only going to say the top five for Cadril so we don't waste time. BLG by itself in the top tier. Then Gen.G T1, then top esports, then G2. Everything else is underneath that. And I'm like, to me, like, yeah, I mean, I pretty much would agree with that. Maybe I put Gen.G up a bit, but otherwise, like at the same tier. But it's a very vanilla tier list. It's not controversial at all. It wasn't like Cadril was farming for clicks or anything. He just gave his reasoned it out, and Double Lift's, man, I should let you talk before I just rant about the Double Lift's reasoning behind it. Yeah. The way, like, you must be on drugs part, whatever. You know, the social credit, all jokes, but he did kind of just go, it's the combination of everything.
Yeah, it's a little much. I don't know. It just feels like he's just farming content. He's just making up drama, being overzealous for no reasons. And that's what this whole situation is, right? Because, Double Lift's analysis throughout the years has been faltering. He's been making more and more L takes. Like, this is a big L for Double Lift in terms of, IQ checks. He's overrating EU quite a bit, right? Like, Cadril's a guy who watches almost every single European game, probably every single LEC game, and he rated them quite lowly. And he also watched most LCS games this year. Cadril watched almost all LCK games and some LPL games. And like, when you consider how much content Cadril consumes versus Double Lift, who basically only watched, he skimmed through the finals of the LPL, he watched the finals of LCK, he watched the finals of LEC, and he watched all LCS, right? Not enough basis to make a full tier list, and if you're going to make a tier list like that, not enough to insult another man's tier list who did put in the time. So I think that's why a lot of people are upset, and I gotta say, I was just amazed that Double Lift watched the finals of LEC and thought that G2 and Fnatic looked good. Like, they were, like, better than top esports and in contention with BLG. Like, I watched both finals. I didn't watch all the regions like Cadril did. But even just watching the finals from my point of view, it was like, no, it looked like G2 and Fnatic was, like, significantly lower quality than what BLG and top esports were putting out. And, like, BLG was, like, much better than top esports. And top esports kind of underperformed maybe in the finals. But definitely for G2 Fnatic, it was a big fiesta. It was like not very clean, honestly. It was a bunch of lane swap bullshit shenanigans in that final. So interesting how Double Lift's opinion was formed. Maybe he just spent years and years getting pooped on by G2 and Fnatic, and he never actually played against top esports or BLG, so he has no opinion. I don't know. But it was an interesting take. Any last thoughts on this topic before we just kind of throw it in the trash?
Yeah. So some speculation I saw in the Reddit thread, and I sort of think it's not all the way there, but there's some merit, was like Double's viewership hasn't been the same since he started. When he started, he was doing 30, 40K, just like what Kadril can do on a playoff game. Or Kadril does higher even for like LCK finals. He did 100K. Doubles viewership's just like down to like 5 or 6K. Honestly, it almost feels like he's rage baiting. Like he's just like, okay, to become more relevant, I need to attack the bigger streamer. And it's very strange to me because I think Doublelift could very easily be a huge streamer if he put in the time, did the grind just like Kadril did after he... Kadril was not popular when he retired. He was memed on for his terrible Malzahar play, his very short mid-lane career. Like, he was memed on a lot. Even though I think he was, like, at least a mid-tier jungler. He was a mid-tier jungler who might have been better than it looked, but he had some very bad on-stage moments. But he managed to become so popular because he put in the effort. You know, as you said, he watches the four regions. He doesn't need to anymore. He's so popular, he could just do LEC. But he still does the grind. And Doublelift, I mean, he does watch all of NA, and he watches a little bit of the other regions, but he just clearly isn't, his heart isn't as much in it. When he's not on a cast with Meteos and Sneaky, I really don't think he can carry the analysis alone. And his personality variety isn't enough, I think, currently. So I really think that there is some merit to it. He might feel that, like, he might not know it actively, but he might feel a little desperate to put himself out there because he's not playing. And when he's not playing, he's a lot less popular.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 to 6K is a lot, guys. It's more than Dom, by the way, who he's having drama with, which we didn't talk about much. I don't care. I think Dom is friends with Kadril. I think that he's going to come to his defense anyways, and Dom hates Doublelift. Like, I don't really think his opinion matters too much here, but Dom also, like, perfectly knew what Kadril was saying for his logic, and they both sound, in this case, they sounded reasonable. Dom just put out, a 20-minute video, which is a little bit much.
Yeah. I think Doublelift is losing a bit of the relevance, we'll be honest, right? It's like, you know, I think he's not known for being the best player in LCS anymore because he's not active player, right? So his secondary identity was streaming with co-streaming with Meteos and Sneaky, but he stopped doing it. He stopped co-streaming with them, and you know his co-streams with Revenge and Speaker and Pobalter, they were good, but they had significantly lower views, right? Because they're splitting views with Meteos and Sneaky, and yeah, I just think that he made some choices that have led to this outcome of him not being one of the most popular league streamers, just like period. He's just on the mid-tier side, right? Like he's still up there, but yeah. All right, well, that's Doublelift. That's I feel like we talk about him every other episode, so gotta get that in there. But let's talk about the main topic of interest, which is MSI. We have all of our teams, pretty much all of our teams in MSI. There was a bit of format changes that we can talk about from last year. So I think the main one is just the reward is if you win MSI, you actually make it to Worlds. You get a guaranteed world spot, and something like the runner-up winner of MSI gets like a guaranteed placement in the regional situation. Something like a finals.
Finals, essentially. The one that like...
Something like that, yeah. So they'll like if you do well at MSI, you either guarantee a spot at Worlds or you get close to guaranteeing spot at Worlds, which is pretty cool. I think it's good. I still think like we're probably a couple MSIs of refinement before it fully makes sense because I think so far the MSI runner-up criteria is pretty... It's pretty confusing as how it helps you get to Worlds. But whatever, we'll talk about that more as time goes. And as we talk about post MSI, you know, who won being like, oh yeah, they're making it to Worlds too. Other things is the play-ins, right? So we have actually T1 is in play-ins, Top Esports is in play-ins, Fnatic are in play-ins, and FlyQuest are in play-ins. So I think that, you know, this year, especially the way they're matched up, everybody, all of the top four teams in the play-ins section of MSI, they all get to bully one of the lower tier regions, right? So T1 and Top Esports, they get minor regions to play against. I think they get like Brazil and they get some other region that I can't remember. Fnatic plays GAM, I think. And then FlyQuest plays a PSG. Those are the tougher minor regions for sure. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Give me some overall thoughts on some of the matchups and some of the format changes and anything about MSI in this first section play-ins.
I think the first, I mean, getting the worlds, I don't know why this wasn't like decided earlier. To me, I like, it just like helps the hype of the tournament a lot more and build the build up to qualifying, right? It's weird that you qualified, now you know that, hey, this like actually is like a big deal. Now, of course, maybe NA and EU don't have to worry about winning it or anything, but NA was in a position to win it before. You know, they had been in the world champions. EU has won it before, maybe at the same tournament. But my point is, it is possible, and this is a huge reward. Like, there are teams that fall, crash and burn, and barely, like, it is maybe more plausible for, like, an RNG to win MSI than qualify for that same year's Worlds. So, all's to say, like, I think that's great. I love this change. We've been kind of suggesting something. I didn't think we went as far as to say qualify directly to Worlds, but we have suggested it. We just didn't think it would happen. So, honestly, bravo. Very good change. For the regional finals, I didn't even know regions were still doing regional finals. Like, I thought we didn't do regional finals anymore, but maybe we do. So cool. Like that. For the matchups, man, we are... That's awful. FlyQuest into PSG is like, of everyone in that I think everyone that we could have potentially matched up into, I think that's the hardest by far. Like, so what people don't know is that this year, or not people, that we didn't mention yet, is that PSG didn't just play like against the typical PSG opponents, which is like the old LMS, the old Taiwan region. It is now Southeast Asia. It's Japan's also playing. So like DFM was in the finals, or not DFM. I always say DFM when I see the Japanese team, but it's actually the new one, the SoftBank Hawks or whatever they're called. Yeah, like the new team that got out there. So Japan was in the finals against DFM. So
PSG, against there you go.
PSG. So PSG actually had way more competition this year. They didn't just have to play against like just like the second place Taiwanese team. So all to say is they had a lot more competition. They might actually be more competitive this time around. They usually are pretty much a lock to get into the top four and knock out one of us major regions. And so hopefully it's not NA this time, but it looks like they're set up to have that matchup at least. And then besides that, I think Fnatic looked really... Hello?
Yeah. Just keep going, Tavin.
Okay, yeah. So I think the Fnatic looked really sus in their final against G2. At the same time, they also had chances where I think they could have won that series. I think the Fnatic, all the lane swap shenanigans really make me concerned. All the lane swap shenanigans made me concerned that there just isn't enough stability in the region. They may not know what their win conditions are. So if they can pull it off against top Korean and Chinese teams, I mean, more power to them. But at the end of the day, it was a strategy that won you two best of fives, and both teams did not get a lot of practice at on stage for the level of play that we should be expecting from them.
Okay, who do you think's taking it? What are the games? Who's winning?
I think on my end, I think I have to vote PSG here, even though I'm an NA person.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
I said they had higher competition back home. They have always been a threat, and more importantly than that is that FlyQuest doesn't feel that functional right now. I mean, they literally came off of the like Jensen just getting flamed out of his mind, and I think in the sense Jensen won't be too bad. Like, he should be able to tank that and not care personally, but I think the team mood cannot possibly be good with how many like circle jerked my top and jungler are the best players ever in the league, we carry each other all the time conversations you hear. I feel like that leads to at least the bot lane feeling like they're just not part of the team, and then you can kind of see in their play too. So I think all that adds up to me not even knowing, like, honestly, I don't know anything about PSG other than that they had a more competitive league this year compared to usual, but to me, like, that's enough to say that I think we're in trouble.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Voting against the FlyQuest. Throw an NA into the trash.
Liquid, dude.
Yeah, Team Liquid's a good team, bro. Man, I mean, I think you've been hurt too many times. Lift. You've been hurt too many times, Kevin, okay? Your vision is skewed. You're in pain from all the times Team Liquid has hurt you. But it's okay. They won. They're good now, all right?
Yeah, they are good
and
now.
And FlyQuest lost to them 3-1. So I think FlyQuest is going to be just fine. I think they're going to take it to them. I think it's going to be 2-1 against PSG. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be tough. You know, they do have Maple and Betty and other old guys that have been on there for a while. But you know what? We have Inspired and Bupo, and they are cool. on the Rift. I think they just had a bad finals, and they're going to bring it back and do much better. And Jensen never disappoints internationally. Jensen's like the opposite of like some other mid laners, right? Like, he does not do poorly against international mid laners that aren't like Chovy or Faker or something, right? He actually always consistently plays very well against minor region teams, right? When he's on C9 or Team Liquid, he never lost to minor region teams. So I think that the top side of FlyQuest will be just fine, and then that the bot side of FlyQuest might struggle, but this is going to be a great litmus test and a great warm-up to see how much they can bring to the table, the rookie bot lane. And you just kind of have to make your bets, right? And I think that, you know what? I think they are going to perform on the international stage, especially against a minor region team. And this will be their first time to show it. First impressions are very important, right? Busio and Masu are going to shape their international reputations, right? This will be their first time going up here. So I think that they'll shape it into a good reputation and that this will be a good tournament for them. So yeah, I'm going to take it for FlyQuest. And yeah, and then honestly, we don't even have to predict T1 and the other team. They're called Estral Esports. Congrats to making it to MSI. They get another chance in the lower bracket. Maybe they can beat PSG down there, but we're just going to give it to T1, okay? I think they're just going to get out of the group.
Maybe they can cheese a first blood. Like I don't know, man. Yeah. We're going to have this clipped in a short later when they like have the biggest upset of all time. And we're
sure. Please, okay, yeah, man. Destroy T1. Yeah, that'd be sick.
I don't even know what region Estral is. Are they Brazil? No, Payne was in the finals this year, but they didn't win again. And I don't think Payne is
Latin America. They're Latin American. Yes, they are. They're Lat. So that's cool. Good for them for being here. Good luck against T1. Oh, they have Jose Diodo, I think. Yeah.
Oh.
So good luck, Jose Diodo. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Jose Diodo, he recently went like 27-2 or something in like Korean Challenger. So he is smurfing in Korean solo queue. So that's good for him. Yeah, and then this is double Elim, right? So even if FlyQuest loses to PSG, they'll get another chance. Like PSG will probably lose to T1 in the upper bracket, and then as long as FlyQuest beats Estral Esports, they'll get another chance to play PSG. So I think with a minimum of two shots for FlyQuest to make it out, I think they'll make it out, right? I think the group is going to be T1 and FlyQuest. Thoughts on that? Have the same opinion?
I think that's very fair. I'm saying like I think at the beginning of the tournament they're not going to win, but I don't think that will be the end result of like a rematch.
Okay, sweet. So we got FlyQuest T1, and let's talk about the next group. Okay, I'm just going to put this out there. Just like T1 and Estral, I'm going to say Top Esports is going to poop on Loud and probably just get out of the group without dropping a game. So that'll be cool. Although to be fair, Fnatic and Top Esports, they do have some history with each other. I think back in the year 2020, Fnatic played against Top Esports and it went to five games. All five games, it was a banger. This is when they had Nemesis and Reckless on the team, so long time ago. So they do have some history with each other. Completely different rosters, though. But Fnatic versus GAM is the interesting matchup. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think Fnatic's going to take it? Do you think GAM's going to take it? How much are we flaming EU today?
So GAM didn't look that good going in, right? I was saying while you were gone, like these lane swaps is really bad on stage practice. If it's a good thing that most of Fnatic is just the same roster for the most part, but so they have other stage experience. But I was like, they weren't getting much experience, honestly, from that. That's going to be immediately relevant unless they're every EU team's just pulling up lane swaps against Korean teams. Like, I mean, sure, go for it. No, sorry. Well, against Chinese teams in this case, but Asian teams. All to say, though, like that's ignoring the elephant in the room, which is that Vietnam is so doomed. Like they had a horrible year, and not because of gameplay, and because of behind the scenes tomfoolery. No, actually, fuckery. Honestly, that's the level it's on. So, like, where was GAM supposed to get real practice? They were playing against like SOFM support, who had to sub in last minute. This is like
good stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious, but it's a complete sham of a season. And they once again get the short end of the stick going into an international tournament. There's just no way. If they win, like we should all be cheering for them because their league is like basically torn up right now. I don't even know if it can survive both financially and also on its reputation? Like, why would they keep it around another year in its current form without just merging it into a big Southeast Asian league, right? Which they're already doing. They put Japan in there.
So. Yeah. No, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I mean, it sucks for Gam and them. But hey, Levi's in there, right? Levi's still kicking strong. He was in NA for a little bit, but now he's not. So, but and they have an NA kind of player. That means they can beat Europe. I'm down for Gam to take down Fnatic. Screw it. We don't need them. Fnatic sucks. So if that happens, that'd be cool. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Fnatic's probably going to 2-0 them, if I'm being honest. And I think that this group is probably going to be Fnatic top esports, just like I predicted NA and Korea in the previous group, right? FlyQuest T1. I think it's just going to be Fnatic top esports that are going to make it out of this group. It would be sick to have Gam Esports do an upset, because their region needs it, right? This would mean a lot, I think, to their country and to their region, and we would get to meme Fnatic for ages. I will say, I do think Oscarin is a total fraud. I feel like that guy sucks. So if there's any opportunity for Gam, maybe it's in the top lane, but probably not, though. Yeah, and then let's see. Oh, let's also talk about, all right, FlyQuest and T1 are inevitably going to match up. Do you think FlyQuest can beat T1 in just one game? One game. Can they take a game? Can it go 2-1? Or is it just a 2-0 for T1?
It's like possible, but yeah. No. I don't think you'll be happy. I can't physically say PSG is going to upset them in the first game and then in the same breath say, yeah, but we'll take an upset game off of T1. I'd love to see it. It is possible. Whippo has like the capability. Jensen getting a rematch against Faker.
Yeah, bodied by Jensen, the sequel.
I mean, one of my favorite tweets into getting bodied, but like, I respect it, man. I love that. For that was one of the things that makes me like Jensen a lot. So, no.
Okay.
We're like,
good talk.
All right. What are they gonna do in bot lane? Like, usually you have to win through bot lane to beat this version of T1.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? They are worse than Jan and Corji, who could quite ostensibly actually compete internationally, like at least hold their own. But Meechan,
yeah,
oh man,
no, was, yeah,
was not.
All right,
if there was like a stylistic matchup, I would say something, yeah. Right? But
no more NA Doomer from you, okay? Let's not hear it anymore, all right? Let's hear some positive stuff. Let's hear some good news. I think that they can cheese a game. You know why? Because we got Blippo inspired and Jensen in the top side. We just give bot lane some stupid Exodia bullshit, right? Give them something stupid like Senna and like Seraphine or something. And then we just go hard in top side. We give Blippo, Olaf, and we run them down, okay? I think it's possible we can take a game. It's not very likely, but I like to hope. And then let's actually talk about Fnatic versus top esports. I think inevitably that they are going to match up. Now, here's where I do think it gets spicy. I was just talking crap about Fnatic, but let's be honest. Fnatic's bot lane is pretty cracked. It's Noah and Jun. They are insane, okay? So Fnatic, I didn't think they were amazing in the finals, but someone who did show up in the finals for sure was Jun. Jun was a crazy player in the playoffs. His Renata, his Blitzcrank, everything was so insanely good. So I think if there's a chance for an upset at this tournament, in the play-on section at least, it could be Fnatic versus top esports, just because Fnatic's bot lane is actually just a Korean bot lane, and they will go crazy. And honestly, Jackie Love and Mako just doesn't hit the same, right? These are some legendary names. Haven't not been hitting the same as they have been back in the day, okay? They're still great. They're still some of the best players in the world. But Jackie Love and Mako are just not the same from back in the day when they were like really cracked, right? They're both world champions and just have not been the same since. So yeah, that's my take. Any takes on Fnatic versus top esports?
I think you had a really good point about the caliber of Fnatic. I will agree with the caveat that top esports bot lane currently with the name power they have are not playing to that level. During the regular season, though, there were times where Jackie Love was insane, like still this year. But as we got into the best of series, there were a lot of times like I watched him just like move command up, balance Senna, and just get caught and die. And I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
I think Mako's still playing fairly well, but it's a combo. So you can't really, he's not Mako though. He's playing fairly well, as in like he's better than like a Mark or something. I don't know, just like a random non, like, why did he name himself Mark? Anyways, then again, Piotrek also named himself Mark. So, you know, it's how it is. So all to say is, I think you're right. It is possible. I'd like to think that Ben will just like dumpster Oscar in so hard that like, yeah, it's not going to be close.
Ben, but, Ben's not on TV Sports. Ben is on BLG.
369. Well, the 369 even more so. Sorry, they keep getting soft around. But 369 would dumpster him even more, no?
Yeah.
In terms of the ability. But I'll give credit to Oscar, and we flamed him last year, and he wasn't actually that bad. He actually got some praise when he was playing solo queue too. Like, I think top will win. I said all of that to just say top will win, but you are absolutely correct that there is a path forward.
And then 369, he got solo killed by Adam on Garen. So, you know, 369 is known to int against top laners for no reason. Okay, I don't think Bin has that reputation. 369 100% has a reputation of being an insanely good top laner who just rolls a 3 against some random ass other top laner. Okay, it happens. So
what was the result of that game?
Yeah, I mean, they still won. It was JDG. It was JDG versus BDS, okay? They still won. But hey, I'm just saying, Adam solo killed his ass, okay? And then if you now you have 369 is on a different team that's not JDG, and Fnatic has a way better bot lane than BDS ever had, anything can happen, you know? And then, you know, we got
also add on to that, Tien at an international event, like, he was actually okay during this playoffs, but he definitely had moments where I was like, ugh.
No, he had the classic Tien finals this year. Literally the GOAT up until finals, and then close your eyes. Close your eyes, okay? Tien in finals is not what's up. He's only had one good finals his entire life, and he won Worlds, okay? So
he looked really good.
He looked really good. He had a whole Ning performance, but like, no, ever since then, this guy has made so many finals just to look like garbage in them. So it's international. He has the same thing, right? Losing in group stages. Like, I think they lost in group stages literally like 2 years ago, right? This top esports roster with a couple of different people, but it was Tien and it was Jackie Love. So yeah, and it was to a European team. It was to Rogue. So, you know, anything could really happen.
It could definitely happen. This is much more likely to be
top esports is probably one of the weakest LPL representatives that regularly gets sent to international, right? Like BLG and like even Weibo last year was like more consistent. Like most Chinese teams are pretty good against the field. Top esports is the one weak Chinese team that hits international. So that's the play-in stage pretty much broken down. I think we'll save the main stage conversations for later. So we'll just get the play-in stage out first. And yeah, and I think we're going to close out this episode pretty soon. I'm afraid of my internet cutting out on me randomly. It's been making me paranoid the whole time. But I just want to ask you, Kevin, right now, at this very moment, before the tournament has started, we will be casting our votes for who will win MSI. So who is it going to be, Kevin? Who's winning MSI? And this is what we will carry our bragging rights to, okay? Whoever gets this right between you and me, $1 million. So no pressure.
It's in China this year, so I think T1's gonna win.
Wow. Okay. Not expected.
Historically do pretty badly on Chinese soil, even though it is MSI, which is like China super buff. Like,
yeah,
I would bet BLG normally. How I imagine is BLG will beat Gen G and then T1 will be top and then just like win in a close series. That's how I feel. That's how I've divined it in my head. It's not logical. Wow. I think BLG is the favorite, by the way. But
yeah, I think BLG is the favorite too.
But I crazy. Just in my mind, I'm like, some weird twist of fate, T1 will be in the finals. They'll beat them up and I'll be like, shit.
Wow.
I'm just firing my shot already. I'm like, fuck.
You sound like the league dad right now. You're literally the league dad incarnate.
I've hung out with them for like half a decade now. Yeah. I'm getting up there in years, you know?
Yeah, you're getting old, man. Oh my god. Yeah, like only league dad would predict T1. Like, this is probably one of the worst splits T1 has had. They're getting DDoS, they can't practice, they weren't even supposed to beat Gen 2, HLE, and then they did. I guess, so T1 always has the clutch factor, that's true. The fact that they made it to 5 games in the LCK finals, can I just say, what a crazy good finals, by the way.
Such a good finals.
It was really clutch for them to even get that far. They had no right to get that far, considering their year. But at the same time, I just can't, man. I just can't. I think BLG is going to take it. I'm going to go with the safe, normal take. BLG number one, they don't have JDG. If JDG didn't exist, BLG would have won like four more times, like last year and this year. So yeah.
True. And this is the team that did just curb stomp the core of Gen G and the whole T1 roster last year, and they just had upgrades. Like,
yeah, I mean, they got Knight now instead of Yao. That's it. That's pretty good.
They got upgrade.
Pretty good upgrade. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ideas about choking, of course, right? Knight is a known international choker, but so is Chovy, and yet, like, I don't know, Knight T1.
One last MSI, man. I mean,
yeah, one last MSI.
He
so,
won international. One so, 100% more than.
Yeah, that's true. And then neither of us are predicting Gen G, which is crazy because Gen G looks so damn good this year, but I can't do it.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I cannot predict Gen G.
You've literally farmed T1 four times in a row. Like, you can't just look me in the eye and say, yeah, they're so good when they they've sold their soul to beat T1 and they
pretty
look
much.
Like they get 3-0'd by BLG last year with Yagawa on it. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
You, Chovy and Yagawa are not on the same sentence, even though Yagawa is, like, actually very good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Chovy should be the best player in the world, but he never shows up. And I will not believe in him until he does. And that's how it is.
Yeah. RIP JDG. What a sick team that got broken apart because they didn't win last year. They didn't Grand Slam. Because they lost 369 and they lost Knight. And I'm just like, damn. Unfortunate, because JDG is still a cool team, but they are not here this year. All right. Well, that's our predictions. That's going to be it. Now, let's end the podcast pretty much for the most part, except I'm going to slip in a little bit of ARAM content, okay? Because I've been playing a lot of ARAM, too. I've just been playing a lot of League in general. You got any cool builds? You got anything interesting you've been cooking up in ARAM? Anything fun?
As really, so there's two things. This is only good on certain characters like Sion and things that are brawling a lot. I actually think that Ingenious Hunter, Unending, and Fimbo Winter is actually quite good on certain scenarios, because if you can keep that uptime, it's actually crazy how much shield and heal value you'll get in combat and how cheap, relatively cheap, the items are. The other thing I've been doing recently is if I know I have a carry on my team, like it's a pre-made and I know someone's on a carry, I just go Knight's Vow first item. I've actually just like decided this is a 2200 gold item that like actually heals me more than Unending Desire most of the time, and this item I can switch mid combat to someone else, so I actually am knighting two people, because if my knighted person dies, switch it over. It's damage reduction. It helps. Not only does it keep me healthy and keeps them alive, if they stay alive a little longer, they get fed more often, right? Because they're dying less often. So to me, this item is the most cost efficient tank item you can build. I like to go knights into like mogs and then I just sit there and I just simp for my character, or knights into whatever, right? Whatever fits the scenario. So those are my builds. They're all very tank oriented because I'm just like, I think that's where the excitement was for me. Besides that, pick Zeri. She's plus 10, minus 10. I don't think she's dog shit. Although Jinx is the highest win rate, AD carry, and she definitely picked Jinx, but pick Zeri. I think she's actually quite good.
I mean, you're...
Oh, and Skarner. Pick Skarner. Snowball. Yeah. When you land a snowball, you can hit an E and just drag the enemy 100% of the time towards your team. Suppressed, and it's very funny.
That's messed up. Yeah. Skarner's a little broken. Luckily, he's not enabled for MSI, because I think he would take over the entire tournament. Your Knight's Vow, see, it's kind of cool. Like, we see LCS pro junglers picking up Knight's Vow now. We see pro junglers and like supports first iteming Knight's Vow. It was happening a bit last year too. I just want to say that I've been building Knight's Vow for on junglers and tanks and supports for ages. I've been building Knight's Vow in ARAM for a long time. So it's interesting that people are catching on nowadays when Knight's Vow has actually been broken for years. Years and years this item has been broken. 5+ years, honestly, since Mythics have been in the game. So, yeah, good. I'm happy everyone's playing Knight's Vow. You're playing Knight's Vow. Inspired is first iteming Knight's Vow in Sejuani. It's just so everybody's picking Knight's Vow now. It's great.
It's just so strong. How is there DR on an item that can also heal and it costs 2200? And its stats are like meh, but they're not terrible.
Stats are pretty good, honestly, for the item. The stats are actually fine. And then the build path is also pretty good too, right? You get health and armor. Everybody likes Skindle Gems and stuff, so pretty good. And then the Ingenious Hunter builds, that's what I was going to talk about. So the Fimbulwinter, Unending Despair, that's all great. Everybody's been playing those. I've been seeing them a lot. I've been playing them a lot. You can also do so much extra funky stuff, though, right? Like, you can build Locket on the tank now because you get super low Locket cooldowns. Yep. Kanik, it's normally a 15-second cooldown. It gets reduced, right? It'll be like an 8 or 9-second cooldown to refund the Kanik shield, stuff like that. I've also been doing Ingenious Hunter on bruisers and fighters and stuff, and then getting an early Eclipse, right? Lower the cooldown for the Eclipse shield. That's pretty normal. But my favorite is definitely Steryx. Obviously, it's getting nerfed next patch, but Steryx was a 60-second cooldown. With full Ingenious stacks, it goes to 40. You will just have Steryx almost every single fight. You'll rack up those shield number values, so I loved getting that one. I also love getting Ingenious Hunter on Enchanters and rushing Redemption and Shirelias. Oh my god, you will be spam healing and move speeding your team. I think it's my favorite. That's been my favorite build, has been playing an Enchanter, going the Ingenious Hunter build, and spamming Redemption and Shirelias and like Locket over and over again on my team.
Yeah, it's super fun.
It's super fun, super low cooldown. Another pretty good one is if you're like the assassin-y mage type of champions, you do Ingenious Hunter, you can do a really low cooldown Rocket Belt and Zhonya's. So I do that a lot on like Diana and Akali and stuff like that. So a lot of fun stuff. Ingenious Hunter has got to be the most fun rune, I think, right now. There's so many options you can do with the different items these days that it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I feel like a lot of people don't know that it exists in the game because I read it. I'm like, isn't this giga busted? Yeah. I'll add some extra caveats. I've also started theory crafting a bit. If you are playing an enchanter like Lulu and you're always sitting behind your AD carry or whatever, your bruiser, you could probably build knights too.
I almost always do.
Because you're just a pocket of health that generally stays healthy, and you are just there for DR, and then you'll get healed. Like, it's actually a pretty good synergy. Yumi with knights is the most broken thing ever, and it needs to be nerfed because Yumi can't be targeted. So you get a full health bar versus effectiveness, and you can't target the Yumi. And I don't think you should be building Unending Despair without Ingenious. I actually think it's kind of average to meh when you don't have it. So those are my thoughts.
Interesting. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah, I definitely think, I build Knight's Vow on Enchanters too, especially when it's like you have one super fed carry. Sometimes, like, if it might be better just to get like normal Enchanter stuff if you have a bunch of carries, so if, like, your whole team's a bunch of carries or something like that. But especially if you got that one carry, yeah, Knight's Vow is really, really strong in those scenarios. That's going to do it with a little bit of ARAM talk, some cool ARAM builds. Go play them, go check them out. Take Ingenious Hunter, buy some items that use it, and have some fun. But that's going to do it for us on this episode of the podcast. We're excited for MSI. We're excited to never have internet problems for me again, please. Comcast, like, can you stop, please? But otherwise, try not to be too toxic, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the best fan-made League of Legends podcast ever. If you enjoyed the show and want to show your support, please leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoyed the show. Remember, we want you, the listener, to be a part of this show. So join our Discord and join the conversation. And finally, if you think we're worthy, consider supporting us by visiting our Patreon. For as low as $5 a month, which is basically a cup of coffee, you can ensure that we keep the show running, and you can get a few extra perks as well. Thanks again, and we hope you'll tune in next week to the All In Podcast.